Well, I've got a friendly challenge for my critics today.
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, biblical scholar and cultural commentator, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice for moral sanity and spiritual clarity. Call 866-34-TRUTH to get on The Line of Fire. And now, here's your host, Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome, friends, to the broadcast. If you're listening, I think you can hear me smiling broadly. If you're watching, you can definitely see me smiling broadly. So glad that you are here. I've been on radio now, daily talk radio, since 2008. So we're talking about going on 16 years now. I've never done what we're going to do today, but I got this little inspiration in my heart to do it. So I think it's going to be an eye-opening broadcast and a challenging broadcast, but a friendly broadcast. And those that are listening, I'm going to do my best to paint a picture. Those that are watching, you're going to see it. We've got a great production team with us every day, Kai and Chris here in studio, then our Truth Studio in Winston-Salem. And Kai is going to be in and out of the screen today, so you'll see that. You say, what are you talking about? Well, it's all going to become clear. First, if I have time, I don't know how long this whole presentation is going to take, but if I have time, you can respond, you can interact with me on today's subject at 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. Two quick announcements. Tomorrow, unless there's something massive in the news that happens that shifts things, tomorrow, tomorrow my goal is to, won't be doing that tomorrow because Thoroughly Jewish Thursday is coming. We've got some intense stuff to cover there. So let me just make this one announcement. Got the days of the week confused in the midst of the intensity of schedule. Here's the deal, friends. If you're not getting my Frontline newsletter, by all means, sign up today. It will bless you. It'll edify you. It'll equip you. It'll inspire you. Go to thelineoffire.org. It's free. We send that every month, thelineoffire.org. Click on subscribe. Okay. Last week, I did a video explaining why I don't cater to critics and basically said, listen, we all have to give account to God. We all have to run the race God's called us to run. I can't tell you what race you're to run. You can't tell me what race I'm to run. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 9, 24 to 27, that like athletes competing in the games, we should be disciplined in all things, and we should run our race so as to win. So at the end of our lives, we're going to give account for our lives, not for someone else's lives, right? We're going to give account for what we did with our life and how we responded to the calling of God. So I'm often challenged, well, why don't you do more of this, and why don't you focus more on this, and in particular by very strong anti-charismatic critics. Why don't you spend more time calling people out? So I've addressed that, but I want to illustrate a point, and I want to give a friendly challenge to my critics. All right, so let's start with our first stack of books here. God's called me to do a lot of writing over the years. So let's grab our first stack here. All right, thank you, Kai. And commentaries. It takes a lot of years to write a commentary. So I've got here my commentary on Jeremiah, which takes up the bulk of the volume that's sitting here on my desk. A commentary on Jeremiah in the revised edition of the Expositor's Bible Commentary. And then my commentary on the book of Job, the faith to challenge God. Doing a new translation of Job was probably the hardest thing academically I've ever done. And then my book, Israel's Divine Healer, 450 pages, 165,000 words to this day, the most comprehensive study of divine healing in the Old Testament. So I'm just wondering, for those that challenge me and say I don't spend enough time calling out charismatic error, which commentaries have you written or major academic studies? Oh, you don't have time because you've got to concentrate on your calling to expose charismatic nonsense, and this is not your calling. Oh, okay, got it. No problem. We'll just put this stack over here. Let's get stack number two out here on my desk. Jewish ministry, that's very important in Scripture. And Paul said the gospel is to the Jew first and also to the Gentile, also to the Greek in Romans 1:16. And we know that Paul writes in Romans 11, verses 11 to 15, that the salvation of Israel will mean life from the dead. So surely that's something that you want to be engaging in. So We've got this Study God with a 22-hour video class on countering the counter-missionaries. A lot of work went into that. And then one, two, three, four, five-volume series, over 1,500 pages on answering Jewish objections to Jesus. That's the fruit, really, of 20 years of interaction with the Jewish community and study and prayer and research and writing, maybe even more combined. So we got those five volumes. And then The Real Kosher Jesus, which I wrote in response to Rabbi Shmuley Boteach's book, Kosher Jesus, The Real Kosher Jesus. And then Resurrection, which is another Jewish outreach book, a real eye-opener. And then to help Christians understand Jewish beliefs and practices, I've got a whole book on that, 60 questions Christians ask about Jewish beliefs and practices. And then my most translated book, Our Hands Are Stained with Blood, which deals with the history of anti-Semitism in the church, and then Christian anti-Semitism, which updates that, and these critically important areas to call this out. So I'm just curious to know what you're doing. And this is aside from all the debates I've had with rabbis and thousands of pages of interaction and emails back and forth with the rabbinic community and training and teaching others at seminary level to respond to Jewish objections to Jesus. I'm just curious to know what you've done, because you're always challenging me about what I need to be doing. So please tell me what you've been doing in Jewish evangelism and apologetics and combating anti-Semitism in the church and all the, oh, that's not your calling. Oh, okay, I got it. And you're too busy putting out those hit piece videos to be focused on Jewish evangelism. Got it. Okay, fine. All clear. Fair enough. Let me just move those out of the way. Let's grab our next stack here. If I could kind of see my way around it. Oh, okay. Culture wars. I mean, that's big. That's big. We're right in the thick of the battle with the culture wars now. And how do we reach out to those who identify as LGBTQ with compassion while standing against a destructive agenda? So a queer thing happened to America. 700 pages, 1,500 endnotes. That was based on research and writing over a six-year period. And then big question, massive question being raised and challenged. Can you be gay and Christian? A whole book on that. And then another one, Outlasting the Gay Revolution, how we have to live, strategies to live in such a way that we can now push back against the rising tide of LGBTQ plus activism. So three books on that, major books. And then more broadly, Saving a Sick America. What do we do through the Bible, through the gospel, not by taking over, but by living out our lives? How can we see moral and cultural transformation? And then Jezebel's War with America, this demonic attack on our nation, and then the silencing of the lambs, about cancel culture, and then just the revolutionary calling to follow Jesus by life or by death, the book Revolution, and the changes that need to come in the church if we're bringing out those changes, revolution in the church. So I'm just wondering, because you're always telling me what I need to be doing and what I should be concentrating on, please tell me about the books you've written, Equipping the Body, on the culture wars, and the material that you've put out to help the church combat serious deception and error, and pro-life related work that's in these books as well. And I'm sorry, that's not your calling. You don't feel a burden to, got it. All clear, my bad there. And of course you don't have time because you're writing all these articles exposing charismatic error. Okay, all clear, got it. Let's just grab another set of books here. What about revival? I mean, that's First Great Awakening America, Second Great Awakening America, revival. I mean, it's revival or we die. It's we must see revival in the church or America's going to completely collapse. So I'm just curious to know about the books you've written on revival. I've got the very first one that I wrote on revival, The End of the American Gospel Enterprise, and then From Holy Laughter to Holy Fire, and then another edition, Time for Holy Fire. And then responding to questions and criticisms about revival, there's the Revival Answer book. And then more recently, Revival or We Die that I wrote. And then Seize the Moment, which just came out earlier this year, about how to fuel the fires of revival. What happens when God comes? How do you cultivate that and really sustain what God's doing? And then corrective books within our own camp, within my own camp, like How Saved Are We? 1990, or Whatever Happened to the Power of God, 1991, or It's Time to Rock the Boat, 1993, or Playing with Holy Fire, a wake-up call to the Pentecostal Charismatic Church in 2018. So all these books I've written about revival in the church, and of course, preached endlessly all over America and around the world on revival, and participated probably over a thousand revival services in the midst of the Brownsville revival, and more really in travel. And then the books, yeah. So the books you've written critiquing your own camp, the cessationist camp, the reformed camp, whatever the camp may be, Lutheran, Presbyterian, the anti-charismatic camp, because obviously we critique our own first before we go attacking others, right? We find the mess in our own midst before we go attacking others. So I'm just wondering about the books you've written on those subjects, on revival and the critiques that you've written in your own you haven't? Oh, okay, I get it. It's not your calling. Got it. It takes too much time to put all this material together, bashing the charismatics. Got it. All clear. No problem. Well, a few other books I've written. Let's just grab this last pile here. Let's see. There's a practical book like Go and Sin No More. It's a major practical one to really help believers grow in holiness and in the grace of God. And then there's Hypergrace, dealing with a major error that had to be confronted in depth, naming names. And then follow up to that, the Grace Controversy. And then a teaching book on who is the God of the Old Testament, Compassionate Father, Consuming Fire, who is the God of the Old Testament. And then during COVID, I wrote When the World Stops, a whole book on the power of music. And then Breaking the Stronghold of Food, Nancy and I wrote to tell our stories and life transformation. And then Authentic Fire. So what's real, what's not? That was response to Pastor MacArthur's Strange Fire. And then practical books like Has God Failed You? You know, what do you do when you've lost faith, or why so many Christians have left the faith? Books like that. And then books dealing with political issues. Donald Trump Is Not My Savior, or Evangelicals at the Crossroads, Where We Pass the Trump Test, or The Political Seduction of the Church. I think we've got a couple of duplicates here, but I think that's pretty much it here. So I'm just wondering, what are the books you've written on those subjects to help the body and to help equip the church and strengthen us to do the will of God and to be doctrinally sound? Oh, Not Afraid of the Antichrist, but I don't believe in a pre-tribulation rapture, together with Craig Keener. And I think we left out another fire book, right? The co-author together with Pastor John Kilpatrick, The Fire That Never Sleeps. So just wondering which books you've written and materials to help equip the body in doctrine. And oh, that's not your calling. Got it. Okay. And of course, you don't have time to do that because you've got all this other important work to do, bashing the charismatics. But somehow, I'm the one that's in error. I'm the one that's not being obedient to God, that's not being a watchman on the wall, because I don't spend all my time doing what you're doing. I see a bit of a pattern developing here. We'll be right back.
This is Michael Ellison, founder of Tribeta Wellness. I want you to hear an amazing testimony from my friend James Robison, and most all of you will know of him. He and his wife Betty host the Life Today television program. Now here is James.
Let me tell you about a miracle I experienced. My friend Michael Ellison, he and his wife are our 40-year plus best friends. Well, let me just say this to you. I had so much pain with what was called tennis elbow that I could hardly reach over and pick up the phone without pain, without it hurting me. I couldn't pick up something to drink, a glass of tea or anything. It was very difficult to do anything without wearing a tight strap. And then Michael shared the Nopal cactus juice with me, Nopalea. I began drinking about that much in the morning in a glass and that much later in the day. And in 3 months, I was a different person. I have now gone more than 10 years with no pain. Not better, well, I have no joint pain. I'm telling you, it did something to the inflammation in my body that was undeniable. Now, that's just my testimony. But that's been more than 10 years with no pain. Matter of fact, if I miss for some foolish reason a few days, I can feel it creeping back that fast. So give it a try. See if it helps relieve your pain. I hope it does like it has mine, because it worked for me.
No Pelea is supported by clinical studies for lowering inflammation and improving mobility, flexibility, and range of motion in the neck, back, and joints for less reliance on pain medication and improved quality of life. Call 800-771-5584 and use promo code BROWN25 to receive 25% off your order. As a new customer, 100% of your order goes to support the Line of Fire. Call 800-771-5584 or go online to trivita.com.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get on the Line of Fire by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome back, friends, to the Line of Fire broadcast, 866-34-TRUTH. If you want to weigh in on today's topic and have a friendly talk with me as I give a friendly challenge to the critics. And, you know, a simple point I'm making is I could challenge you on all these things God's called me to do. Every one of them is important. Every one I could give my life to, whether it's teaching doctrine, whether it's bringing, sparking revival in the church, whether it's calling, equipping the body for the culture wars, whether it's Jewish outreach and apologetics, whether it's academic work, and on and on. I easily give my life to any one of these. I'm working on book number 50 now, but this takes a whole lot of time. If you've ever written a book, this takes a whole lot of time. If you've ever written an academic commentary, it can take years and years and years of your life. So I've got to do what God's called me to do to serve you. I've got to give account to him, right? Not to a critic, not to a human being, not to a pastor, not to a friend, not to a spouse, but I've got to give account to him just like you do. And we will give account. Romans 14, 12 says we will give account for our lives. 2 Corinthians 5:10 says the same thing. So I've got to run the race God set before me, and it's a full race. It's a full race. Or I could turn around and say, how come you're not doing this and this and this and this and this, and you're spending all this time just bashing us? How's that work out? How's that work out? 866-34-TRUTH. Now, there's another thing that takes a little bit of my time. It's called this. It's called the Line of Fire. It's called 5 days a week of live talk radio. And in some cases, there's a lot of preparation before a show, and then the time of the show itself. And for years, we did 2 hours of live talk radio every single day. Oh, and in January, we launched a new broadcast. It is a 30-minute equipping version of the Line of Fire that launched on a couple hundred plus stations in January. As we have funds, we'll put it on more and more stations across America. So I record an additional 5 30-minute shows every single week as well. But hang on. I wonder why you're not doing that. I wonder why you're not on live talk radio tackling the issues. And I wonder why you're not doing a 30-minute equipping it's not your calling. Okay, I got it. It's not your calling. Plus, you don't have time to do that because you spend all your time bashing the charismatics. Got it. All clear. But, you know, since 2010, the first time, but really 2012, it started going. So since 2012, so roughly the last 11, 12 years, God's called me to write a lot of articles. And what's happening in the world today, I just wrote one about the delicate dance for believers that want to vote for Donald Trump but don't want to be primarily identified as Trump voters. They want to be identified as followers of Jesus more, negotiating that, and, you know, what's happening in Israel. So I'm writing articles, normally 4 or 5 articles every single week. That's in addition to all the books. That's in addition to all the radio. Okay. Now, if you compute it, let's say an article is roughly 1,000 words. All right. So that would be, if you break that down, if you say, let's say there's 600 words on a printed page, we printed it out. That would be what does 5,000 pages look like? This is in addition to the books. These are the articles that I have written in just the last 11, 12 years. 3,000 articles, averaging 4 or 5 per week. Yeah, let me pull them in here. There we go. That's basically, if you printed them up, that's what we have here. I'm just wondering about the articles that you're writing. dealing with the culture wars, dealing with the war in Israel, dealing with world situations to help Christians negotiate their way through. I'm just wondering, maybe not 3,000, maybe 300, maybe 30. Oh, that's not your calling. You're not burdened to do that. And plus, you don't have time, because it takes a lot of time to bash the charismatics with all the weirdness and stuff in army. Okay, got it. All clear. You know, there's another thing that I'm called to do, and that's teach in school settings. So I taught at or led ministry schools basically from 1982 to around 2019 with rare interruption. And that's time and energy. But now that our school, Fire School of Ministry, is entirely online, I have no responsibilities with that. During the school year, I teach at three different schools virtually every month. Christ for the Nations in Dallas, Spiritual Leadership School in Fort Worth, Nations College in Orlando. So I commute to do that basically almost every month during the school year. Not everyone is every month. Three days at one, 2 days at another, 1 day at another. So that's every month added in. And then once a year, do 5 days intensive course for the Global Awakening Theological Seminary. And now YWAM has asked me to come once a year to their base in Kona, Hawaii, and to teach and train and equip there. So that's five different schools. Plus, since the mid-90s, I've been a visiting or adjunct professor at seven different seminaries, which takes a little time, and it's preparation, and it's work, and there's classes. So there's that as well. Oh, hang on. I also have the joy of traveling and preaching. Yes, so I've been, last year was on the road 120 days. 120 days I was either traveling or speaking, teaching, preaching, numerous churches, schools, etc. So that, I'm just wondering how much time you've taken on a regular basis, weekly, monthly basis, teaching in Bible colleges, teaching in seminaries, being a professor. Oh, that's not your calling. Or it's not your gifting, your burden. And, okay, got it. And you don't have time. All clear. No problem. No problem. What about international travel? Let's put the map up there. I've had the joy of going outside the U.S. well over 200 times, well over. But overseas, about 180 trips. So leave the map up there. About 180 trips worldwide. Now, when we put the map up, there's some countries that are so close together, we just kind of group things. Like, you know, different Italy, parts of Europe, like 27 times here or there. Or India, we put that up. There's 29 times just to India. And by the way, my India trips, it's about 40 to 45 hours each way. So 80 to 90 hours round trip. I've done that 29 times, plus the ministry time in India. You know, Australia, four times, New Zealand once, Singapore five times. These are pretty far away. You know, Japan, China, Philippines three times, etc. Israel was at 18 times now. England about the same, and Germany. And so I've been to, I think, about 35 countries. I lost track with Canada. Maybe it's 25, 30 trips to Canada. So it takes a lot of time. International travel takes a lot of time. Jet lag, ministry. So just overseas, that's about 180 trips. I spent years of my life serving around the world, ministering, doing missions work around the world. I'm just curious as to how much of that you're doing. I mean, just ask my critic friends how much time you're spending out on the mission field, how much time you're going to equipping missionaries, how much time you're working with those who are fighting human trafficking and things like that, because a lot of our missionaries are doing that overseas as well. How much you're working with church planters going to unreached parts of the world, because we're working with folks doing that. How much you're working with persecuted church in the midst of suffering, because we're going that sometimes right on the front lines physically with them. Just wondering, because that's taken on years and years of my life, one of the great privileges I have. Just wondering how much of your time you've taken. Oh, that's not your calling. You're not burdened to really do that. World missions is kind of secondary, you know, because others are doing that. And plus, you don't have time. Yeah, I mean, how could you do all that and just bash charismatics all the time? I get it. All clear. No problem whatsoever. Is there anything? Oh, you know what? I actually have something called family. Yeah, so there's Nancy, my bride of 48 plus years. Then our wonderful daughters and sons-in-law and four grandkids. So there's time with family. And then this relationship with God, right? Time alone with the Lord. So in the Word, prayer. And then once a month, I stop everything for a weekend and just do a prayer retreat just to get alone with the Lord and spend time with Him, quality time with the Lord to really focus and be everything He wants me to be so I can more effectively serve you and glorify Jesus. That takes time, energy. And then all the people coming with problems, issues, pastors, leaders that look to us for counsel and doing that. And then the biggest project of all is taking the most of my time. I can't even tell you about. That's behind the scenes going on. And hopefully in a few more months, we can let you know about that. So I'm kind of busy, and I'm sorry I can't read all your comments on social media. I'm sorry I can't devote all my time to calling out the people you think I should call out. But God's got me pretty busy, and I'm pretty blessed. And I'll tell you what, you run your race, I'll run mine. Hey friends, Michael Brown here. My delight to serve as your voice for moral sanity and spiritual clarity. We are living in such urgent times today, friends, that all of us are in the line of fire. There's a target on your back. There's a target on my back. If you simply seek to live by biblical values or just conservative moral values, you could be canceled. You could be cast out. You could be put down. You could be silenced. I'm here to say, friends, that I am not about to be silenced, and I don't believe you are either. It is time for us to stand up. It is time for us to say enough is enough. It is time for us to push back in Jesus' name. Not fighting the way the world fights. No, overcoming evil with good, overcoming hatred with love, overcoming the flesh with the power of the Spirit, overcoming lies with truth. And that's what we're here to do on the Line of Fire broadcast. And friends, it's not just a broadcast. It is a movement of people around the world. God's people standing up saying enough is enough and saying, Lord, here we are. Send us, use us. I want to urge you today to join our support team because we are on the front lines together. And we are literally touching people around the world, in America, in the nations, in Israel. And together with your help, we're going to amplify this voice and spread this movement around the globe. So I encourage you, go right now to thelineoffire.org, thelineoffire.org. Click donate, monthly support, thelineoffire.org. Click donate, monthly support. When you do, you become a torchbearer. We immediately send you two great life-changing books. We immediately give you access to many classes I've taught. Others have to pay to take those. You get them for free. Exclusive video audio content, a new audio message every month, an insider prayer newsletter, 15% discount on our online bookstore, so much more. Join our support team today. Go to thelineoffire.org. Donate monthly support.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get on The Line of Fire by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks, friends, for joining us on The Line of Fire. Remember, we've got over 3,000 videos on The Line of Fire YouTube channel, over 3,000 articles on thelineoffire.org website waiting for you, and everything is cross-referenced if you're searching for it. So let us be a blessing to you. Enjoy those resources. If you're not getting our Frontline newsletter and our equipping emails on a weekly basis, Frontline newsletter once a month, and the equipping emails on a weekly basis, by all means, take a moment, hit subscribe, thelineoffire.org. And phone lines are open to critics, to skeptics, or to those that want to chime in agreement. But we're just staying on topic today. So for those who may be coming late to the party, don't understand the context of what we're talking about today, let me say this. We're all made a certain way with certain gifting. And God made me to be productive. It's a grace to be productive. He's given me grace to endure well with travel and ministry. And it's a joy to run my race. It's a joy and a privilege and an honor. And it feels good for me. In other words, I'm not stressed. I'm not worn out. I'm not burnt out. I'm not beaten down. No, there's grace to do what God calls us to do. just a little principle for you. Then I want to try to explain things to those who may not understand the reason for this illustrated show today. So for those watching, we've just got everything piled up on my studio desk. I actually moved my computer off the desk just to make room. So a principle from the Lord, from Jesus, in Matthew 11, verses 28 to 30. You're familiar with the words when he says, "Come to me, all you who are burdened, weighed down, tired, I'll give you rest." Right? And he says we should learn of him because he's meek and lowly in heart. We'll find rest for our souls. And he says, "For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." What does he mean his yoke is easy? Many scholars would say the Greek for easy means it fits just right and his burden is light. Now, Paul, when he was speaking of his own life in 1 Corinthians 15, speaking of his own life, he said that he worked more than all the other apostles, but it wasn't him. It was the grace of God at work in him. And even though he suffered horrific persecution, extraordinary persecution, I believe that was the thorn in the flesh, the unusually intense persecution that he suffered everywhere. They suffered everywhere he went. Even so, he had the grace of God to do what God called him to do. God said to him, "My grace is sufficient for you," in the very context of the thorn in his flesh. Now, here's what's interesting. Writing now, working on my 50th book, and then the academic work, and the teaching, and the preaching, and the travel, and all that, and debating rabbis, and debating Hebrew Israelites, and debating Muslims, and debating gay activists, and this and that, and then fun debates, you know, within the body, being part of other films, documentaries, etc. I've got grace to do that. Like I said, I'm not burnt out, not worn out, not tired, not discouraged. By God's grace, I'm thriving. By God's grace, I'm full of joy. By God's grace, I have a sense of purpose, destiny. I can't wait to get on to the next thing. I can't wait to get home after hanging out with Nancy after radio, get back to writing. I can't wait to travel out and preach on the weekend. I just love doing what God called me to do. However, if you ask me to do something administrative or to handle some financial books, that's a burden. When Nancy says, "Hey, I need you to call someone to get a certain thing fixed," like, "Oh, it's drudgery." So there are certain things we have grace to do and others we don't have grace to do. And what we have to do is find what God's called us to do. Look, so I've written these books, all these articles, all that. If they help anybody, that's to God's glory. If they do anybody any good, he gets the credit for it. He gets the credit. Like Nancy said to me, "You have a gift, so you have a gift. I'm taller than someone else." "Oh, look at me, I'm taller. I'm shorter than someone else." Like, this is the way we are. Any good that comes out of any of us, it's all him. It's all to his glory. It's all to his praise. On that day, people aren't going to be bowing down and worshiping us. They're going to be bowing down and worshiping him. Okay? This is my joy and privilege to be productive and to serve the body. All right? And my goal is not to do more. My goal is to be more like Jesus. And then whatever comes out of that for the good of the body and for the good of the dying world, my people Israel, so be it. I hope that's your heart as well. But there's grace to do what God calls you to do. So you put me in your shoes. I'm not going to make it. I'm not going to make it. You're pastoring a thriving congregation. You're overseeing your leadership team. You're developing plans for outreach in your community. You are effectively ministering to the hurting and the poor. You are a gifted counselor. You put me in your shoes. I am not going to make it. I've had pastors say, "I love counseling. I love sitting with people counseling." It's like, oh, I don't love counseling. I love people, and I do counsel at times, but I do not love counseling. Homeschooling mom. And you got a six-month-old, a three-year-old, and then you're homeschooling kids 6, 11, and 12, and you're still sane, and on top of it, you still cook meals, and you even wash clothes, and you spend time with Jesus, and you're a nice person. It's like, I don't know how you do that. I can't even conceive of doing that. So we all have grace to do what God calls us to do. So it's not like, look at me. No, because it's his grace to do what he made us to do. And that's also how I know when I'm stepping out of what he called me to do, because it's not grace to do it. Yeah, you're jet lagged, you're traveling overseas, you can be tired. There's a deadline, you may have to push hard to finish it. I'm not saying life isn't challenging. I'm not saying they're not obstacles. I'm not saying that they're not issues. What I am saying is you have grace to do what God called you to do. And that's why, again, I use the illustration from Chariots of Fire with Eric Liddell. So here he is, Scottish athlete, but with a calling to the mission field. And he tells his sister, it's before the Olympic Games. If you've never seen Chariots of Fire, it's an extraordinary movie. Watch it with your whole family. From the 80s, right? Academy Award winner. Extraordinary movie. Moving, powerful. So Eric Liddell tells his sister, he's been accepted for the mission field. He's been accepted on the mission field. Wonderful. He said, but first I'm going to run in the Olympics. And she's surprised. I mean, he's talking about souls. He's talking about the lost. Get out to the mission field as quickly as you can. That's what she's obviously thinking. But why don't you go now? Why are you going to run the Olympics first? And he said, God made me fast. And when I run, I feel his pleasure. And he expressed it would be a dishonor to him to not run. And of course, as an Olympic gold medal winner, there's the whole story that came out of that, and there's testimony going worldwide, and then ultimately the movie Chariots of Fire, etc. So when I write, when I preach, when I feel his pleasure. Now you may say, well, I feel his pleasure when I put out videos attacking charismatics. Okay. That's ultimately between you and God, right? Not between me and God, between you and God. But I can tell you this, in order to do what God called me to do, I don't have time to spend all my time doing that. And I don't have a calling to spend, or let's flip it. I don't have a calling or the time to give all my energy to calling out error in the cessationist camp, to rebuking and exposing hyper-cessationists, to demonstrate the damage that they do by bearing false witness. I mean, I see it all the time, false witness. I watch the post. I see content, and I'm not looking for it. Just here it is, false witness, misleading, destructive stuff that doesn't build up, tear down without building up. Not preach the gospel, but just criticize and attack others. The fact of the matter is, I have to run my race and give account. You have to run yours. And I talked about this a little last week, but I wanted to illustrate it to make a point. And as far as pride, meet my wife, Nancy. All right? It is our constant joke that she is the lead weight that keeps my helium balloon from flying away. And the only thing that would impress her is if I came out of the prayer room so much like Jesus that she couldn't even recognize me. That's what would impress her, that I was a man of God. All this other stuff, it's like, you have a gift. So what's the big deal? You have a gift. It is literally meaningless. I don't mean kind. No, it is meaningless to her. You know the last real good compliment I got? I mean, a really nice compliment. Well, actually, I got two recently. One was 2 days ago. I was helping her outside in the garden. I was spending hours outside helping her, and she bought me these boots that are waterproof because the grass would be real wet, and I'd wear sneakers, and my feet would get soft. So she bought me these waterproof boots, and I put them on, and she said, "You look like a worker man." I have arrived, friend. I've actually posted on Facebook a picture of the boots. I look like a worker man. That was a compliment. The other compliment that I got, and this one was really amazing, was that these weeds had grown in one of the beds. She's got massive beds, different kinds, all over the yard. Extraordinary. And so she said, okay, your job is to dig out all these weeds. And I did, it's pretty painstaking, and you know, on my knees, and then sitting, and then cutting them out, and pulling them out, and all that. And she came afterwards and said, "You did an awesome job." That's the other compliment I got. Otherwise, what I get is constant correction and what's wrong and what's not good enough and what needs to change. And it's exactly what I need. She is exactly what I need. And then when you know yourself well enough, come on, a little self-reflection before God. There's no room for pride. I know what an utter wretch and reprobate I am, if not for the grace and mercy of God. So all this is simply to say, God's keeping me busy with his assignment, which includes calling out an error in my own camp and naming names and dealing with issues as he lays it on my heart and as it's time to do. But I'm responding to what we have heard day and night for years. How come you're not calling out this one? How come you're not calling out this one? What about this one? What about this one? What about this one? What about this one? And my response has consistently been, when God lays things on my heart, when issues come to me that I feel he wants me to address, I address them. But I am not the corrector in chief. And I want to look in your eyes. If you're listening, I'm looking in your eyes. And neither are you. There is no corrector in chief in the body. And I want to urge everyone who feels called to a ministry of discernment or criticism or correction, I want to encourage every one of you, first, spend your time critiquing your own camp. First, spend your time finding out and exposing the serious errors that are definitely in your own camp. Oh, I could help you find them if you needed help, all right? Then, when you've done that, and when you have been commissioned by your church or your denomination, and you have a proven history of practical ministry and fruit, then go and address those outside of your camp as the corrector and the critiquer. I say that from the heart, with love, whether you like it or not. We'll be right back.
Chronic inflammation is the greatest health threat to humanity. Infections, injuries, toxins, poor diet, and chronic stress can attack your immune system and lead to chronic inflammation. But now there's a solution you can fight this dangerous silent killer with. Nopalea, made from the superfruit of the Nepal cactus, containing a unique group of bioflavonoids clinically shown to reduce chronic inflammation.
In a random, double-blind, placebo-controlled study, it showed a reduction of elevated, at-risk C-reactive protein levels, resulting in an improvement in range of motion in the back, neck, and joints, and an overall improvement in the quality of life.
Nopalea has helped thousands of people by lowering levels of chronic inflammation.
Let's hear what customers are saying.
I'm a personal trainer and owner of three gyms. Super excited, doing a renovation in here, bringing new equipment in. And as I was bringing the new equipment in, I was trying to move a piece. I moved, the equipment didn't move, and I injured myself severely. So it was frustrating. It was really depressing. I wasn't able to work out. I wasn't able to train. I wasn't able to do just normal daily functions. After taking Nopalea, I found that it really helped with my recovery, not only with my severe injury in my back, but it also helped in my recovery of my workouts.
Nopalea has helped thousands of people by lowering levels of chronic inflammation.
To place your order, call 800-771-5584 or online at trivita.com. As a new customer introductory offer, use promo code BROWN25 for a 25% discount on your purchase of Nopalea. And 100% of your first order will go to the support of Line of Fire. Go to trivita.com or call 800-771-5584. Again, 800-771-5584.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get on the Line of Fire by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Hey, a quick shout out to our co-sponsor, Trivita. Together with you, our sponsors, our torchbearers, those who donate and support our ministry and help us reach those that we reach and help us support our workers literally around the world. want to express my appreciation to our friends at Trivita who are so super generous with us, donating 100% of your first order to the Line of Fire, and then more than a tithe of all subsequent orders. So if you haven't taken advantage of these great wellness products, they're part of my daily routine as well. They're not substitutes, but they're great supplements. Call 800-771-5584. And if you have questions, you're wondering about what helps with this or that, just ask away. They would love to recommend different resources to you. And then if you're enjoying these, everyone that we get tons of repeat customers, I understand, tell a friend. And then go to Trivita.com. Have your friend go there and use the code Brown25, right? So they can go to Trivita.com. You can and use the code Brown25. That gets you 25% discount on top of everything. Or you can call 800-771-5584. Give that same number to a friend. This way they'll get the discount and funds will be donated from there to help the Line of Fire around the world. Okay, Truth, I need you to look at that monitor and answer the question that I asked. Thank you. So I know that some will respond to a video like this with more mockery and more attack. It doesn't hurt me or bother me, and 99% of it I won't see, but it hurts me for you. It hurts me that you have so given yourself over to mockery, to judgmentalism, even to a spiritual pride that kind of looks down at everybody else and doesn't see the sin in your own camp. And as I always say, when I'm preaching against sin, I start with me. I start with examining sin in my own life. And I start with examining what's wrong in my own life before God and seeking to make that right. Or just searching, am I a hypocrite in any way? And when I write, I'm only writing to address and preaching right within our own camp, or our own family. For example, during the Trump presidency, I spoke much more about errors that evangelicals were making in terms of identifying with Trump more than we were identifying with Jesus, becoming his defenders and apologists at the expense of our witness. This was as a Trump voter. I voted for Trump twice, okay, 2016, 2020. I spent much more time doing that because that was my camp as a Trump voter and as an evangelical than I spent bashing Democrats. Now, I absolutely rejected the Democrat platform, so much of it. I absolutely stood against so many things that were wrong and destructive, and I continue to stand against, but most of the spiritual critiquing was in-house in my own camp, all right? So I encourage you again, start there. Start with self-examination before God. There's a quote I read once in a Smith Wigglesworth book, a man known as the Apostle of Faith, died in 1947 at the age of 87. From 1859 to 1947, he lived. And he basically said this: if you think you have the gift of discernment, if you think you have the gift of discernment, best to practice that gift on yourself for 6 months, and you'll never discern something about somebody else again. I also think it's important that we do this. If we are going to attack someone's fruit in one area, and point to what we consider bad fruit, well, let's show the good fruit in our own lives in contrast. D.L. Moody once said to a woman who was critical of his methods of evangelism, he said, I'm critical of those methods as well. He said, but I prefer my way of doing things than your way of not doing things. So you're criticizing this when you don't like their soul-winning technique, okay? You think it's fleshly? Fine, got it. Just show me those you are leading to the Lord. Show me those that you're discipling. Show me those that have come to Jesus through your ministry. I'll rejoice with you. I will rejoice with you. And then ask yourself a question. Are you a true Berean? Are you a true Berean? So, and again, only taking calls on topic today, just to be clear. So what's a true Berean? Well, we read about them in Acts, the 17th chapter, right? And by the way, if you missed yesterday's broadcast, I had some very strong things to say regarding Benny Hinn's ministry, and we'll do whatever I can to pursue things in a righteous way, however I can. But a true Berean, Acts, the 17th chapter, they were different than the Jewish listeners in Thessalonica. And it says that they eagerly received the word, examining the scriptures to see if it was so. They were of more noble heart than the Thessalonian Jews. So what does it mean? It means that when someone comes with a gospel message, when someone comes with a report here, let's say I share a report about an outpouring of the Spirit. I was in such and such a country, and we had a mighty outpouring of the Spirit. Or God's moving in the inner city, and this man, we're getting these incredible reports from the inner city and the streets, and God's moving, and people are being baptized right in the streets, etc. A Berean spirit is, wow, praise God. That would be wonderful if true. But is it true? Let's examine the reports. Let's examine the reports, and let's weigh everything by Scripture. Amen. Praise God. Good attitude. A non-Berean attitude is like, oh, yeah, right, sure. Oh, yeah, the Holy Spirit's, oh, yeah, outpouring, sure. Oh, yeah, inner city through that many, sure. Ministry, sure. I'm now going to debunk it. You have to ask yourself, what's in your own heart? Are you Berean or not? When you hear reports about God moving, when you hear reports about God using someone, maybe someone that's not in your group, maybe someone that's not in your camp, and it surprises you, is your first attitude, Lord, if that's you, I rejoice. Lord, if that's you, I honor you, and I thank you, and I praise you. But I need to examine. I need to be sure. I need to check. I need to compare with Scripture. Praise God. That's good. If your attitude is, no way, I'm going to debunk that. I'm not talking about a report from a Jehovah's Witness or a Mormon. I'm talking about from a fellow believer, all right, about what Jesus is allegedly doing in his, among his people or among the lost. If your attitude is, all right, I'm going to prove that wrong, you do not have a Berean spirit. You have a mocking spirit, a critical spirit, and it's going to blind you to what God really is doing. All right, let's go over to the phones to New Hampshire. Brandon, welcome to the Line of Fire.
Hi, Dr. Brown. Thank you so much for speaking with me. Just wanted to say, really appreciate what you're doing and appreciate your work. And just to add a question, just in relation to something you said a few minutes ago about folks sort of beginning in their own camp. And I know, you know, often you've been criticized by cessationists and reform folks outside of sort of the charismatic camp. Would you be supportive are more inclined to sort of engage with or listen to like a Mike Winger, given that he is a charismatic, given that he is, from what I've seen, has a very humble spirit, very kind. Just wanted to know sort of your thoughts on Pastor Winger.
Yeah, so again, I avoid just kind of weighing in on whether I like somebody or not, right? You know, because let's just say that for some people I carry weight and have influence. Just say for some, okay? And I say something negative about something. I don't want everyone now to think negatively of a particular person. That's why all the critics wanted me to name call every day with charismatic. Notice I haven't name called the critics. Notice I haven't done that. I've described the errors. Mm-hmm. I've described the symptoms. But I'm not sitting here. I could name names very easily. And call out websites. I'm not doing that because my general MO is to address the issue, focus on the issue, and then you put the pieces together. Is this person teaching this, preaching this, guilty of this or that? That being said, I have no problem where a person is coming from if what's being said is valid and true. And I do believe it's the spirit that's important. So Mike Winger and I know each other a little. I think we've met face-to-face once and talked by phone a few times. We've interacted in the last 24 hours because of him putting out the 4-hour-plus video on Benny Hinn. So we've interacted privately. So I will say this because you asked directly. I do appreciate Mike's spirit. And whether God's calling him to do what he's doing, that's not my call. Whether God's calling him to invest that time and energy, that's between him and God. That's not between me and him. But I would say that I appreciate his spirit, that he's not coming around just with this mocking attitude and watch who I tear this one down, ha ha ha. And even if I differ strongly with his ultimate assessment of Benny Hinn's soul, Mike would hope that he's wrong. If Mike believes that Benny Hinn is not even a child of God, he would hope that he's wrong. And there's brokenness in that, which I appreciate. So even again, I'm not going to say anything beyond that in terms of differences, because Mike and I can interact. And as long as I have a relationship to interact with someone privately, I'll always do that. But for he is charismatic, but he's not charismatic the way I am. In other words, there are different parts of the charismatic Pentecostal world. And I don't know how much critiquing he's done within his own camps, you know, Calvary Chapel, wherever he's part. I'm not sure what he's part of. But for sure, it's the spirit of it, right? And he has very clear to say, hey, he's not denying that people are healed. He's not denying that the gifts of the Spirit are for today, which I appreciate. So, yes, that does make it better when you are more within your own family and circle. But the biggest thing is the spirit with which something's done. And I appreciate Mike's approach and his spirit. And I believe that if he felt something was off or wrong, he'd want to fix it immediately, because I do believe he wants to honor the Lord and help the body. Hey, thank you, sir. I'm so glad we could get the call in. Blessings to each of you.